Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New Life Live. Excited to join all of you today. Thanks for listening wherever you're at. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm joined today by Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Hello. Howdy, folks.
Good to see you. Becky Brown is here with us, too. Hi, Becky.
Hi, everybody. I am out here in the Netherlands. Well, actually, in Ohio, which is a wonderful place to be.
The Netherlands, not to be confused with the country of the Netherlands.
Correct.
I was going to be quite jealous if you were out in Europe enjoying your European vacation without us, Becky.
Oh, I would take you along for sure.
Oh, Zach. Thank you. Oh, that's so reassuring.
Hey, don't leave me out of this.
Okay,
making
Alice,
me feel better.
You can go too.
Thank you.
I don't have the money to go. So today,
I think Becky's paying.
Oh, she is. Oh,
perfect.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Becky, for being such a generous person. I want to kind of start our show today. So this month is, if you don't know this, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we want to spend some time talking about that in general. And, you know, I grew up in a church tradition where it was charitably said, maybe frowned upon to talk about mental health in the church. I still think there is a lingering stigma that I think is getting better. That's my assessment of it, that there's a more openness to talk about mental health in the church. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. You know, Becky, let's start with you. You know, there's churches that have, you know, recovery ministries, and it's just more openness to talking about it. But I'd love to hear, like, how can the church, how are we positioned to help people going through mental health issues? And how can we change maybe some of that lingering stigma that still exists?
Yeah, we have come a long way, baby. It has changed so much in the last 20, 25 years, but we have so far to go, and recovery ministries can make a difference in the life of a local church. And, you know, most people that go to church will go to the pastor. I shouldn't say most. Many people that go to church will go to the pastor for counseling and for support, and that's great. However, the challenge is that there are some things that the pastor can't help or can't deal with because there are bigger things that are going on. And then there's the whole message of shame that goes along with, if you need help, you must not love Jesus enough, or you must not be praying enough. And that's simply not true. We know, of course, that our brains can be affected by so many things, from trauma to illness. And, you know, our mental health is so important, and we have to find ways to get people help where they need it. And the church can be a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Sherry, what do you think? Or Alice, I'm sorry.
Sure. Well, I think we also hold the belief, it may be unspoken, but it seems to be understood in faith communities, that if we're strong enough Christians, we should be at peace. And so as so many of us, most of us are experiencing anxiety and depression and grief, it's very hard to admit that we're feeling that way, because maybe it means I'm not strong enough in my faith, and it probably means that I am weak, when the opposite is true. And our Lord displayed the whole variety, the spectrum of emotions, and even displayed tearfulness. And we need to have that permission and know it's good for us, and it's even godly to talk about feeling those emotions and share them with one another.
Yeah, and I think as local church leaders, it's, you know, as a pastor now for, 17 years, we do feel this unnecessary burden, I think, to be all things to all people. It's like, if they're coming to me or coming to one of us, and we're not professionally trained, but we're available. We want to help them.
Right.
But I think if you are a church leader, you really need to maybe have a referral list of counselors in your area that you trust, that are believers, and can point them in the right direction. I do think the lingering stigma, I want to see that continue to go away. I mean, certainly if the fall of sin is powerful, that has to affect body chemistry and brain chemistry and hormonal imbalance just as much as it affects our behavior. So why would we limit it to something like that? I really think that it's plaguing the church. We want our churches to be a place where it's safe enough to open up about our mental health. So I hope that we can kind of prime the pump and get you thinking about that today. We'll be on for 2 hours taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Matcha here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown. We are talking about Mental Health Awareness Month is this month, and we just started our show talking about how can we as Christians begin to lean into the topic of mental health more faithfully, more holistically, and even comparing that to what the church, you know, there's this lingering stigma that, you know, it's a little off limits to talk about your mental health, but man, New Life is an incredible ministry that can help you with life's toughest challenges, and so we hope that you reach out to us today. We'll be with you for a couple of hours taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to get you some help. So first on the line, we have Zach. Patrick. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. I just wanted to add one thing. You know, our Life Recovery Groups is a great way for a church to begin that process of starting that conversation. And if anybody needs help getting a Life Recovery Group started in their church, give us a call. We'll connect you.
Absolutely. Don't do recovery alone. Do it in community. Mm-hmm. You need people around you. That's good. Thank you. We got Patrick on the line today. He is calling us. Patrick, thanks so much for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. How can we help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I get in a pattern where I get stuck. I don't take any steps to get out of the situation. I've had a lot of trauma in my life. I've been jumped and hit with brass knuckles. And I just had, like, you know, the last two places I've rented had a mold problem, and I had to move. And so basically I've been homeless for a year, and I tend to, you know, I have the resources, but I just can't seem to get out of this pattern where I don't move. I don't do anything. So I need help with that.
Yeah. So your specific question is how to get some help in moving out of this kind of helplessness. Is that how you would phrase it, Patrick?
Yeah. Just getting out of this helplessness.
Okay. Alice, what would you say?
Patrick, logistically, as you've been homeless for the last year, are you staying with other people? Are you in your car on the street? What's going on?
Yeah, I've been in my car and hotels. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, I have money to pay the hotels for a couple nights a week. But it's like, I could be using that money to get a place, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
And as you say, you have the resources. Are you managing to hold down jobs?
Yeah. I have my own business, so I'm, you know, I have plenty of work, and it's just, I don't understand why I can't just, I mean, I basically freeze. I don't do anything. I don't take the steps, like, you know, calling to get an apartment or find a house or a rental or whatever, and that's kind of been my pattern throughout my life. I did have, like I said, a lot of trauma where I've been jumped and I've been beat up. One time I was working for a pest control company and I had a backpack of the pesticides spill on me. So I've had a lot of adverse things happen to me.
And Patrick, as you've gone through so much already, what's your fear of what will happen if you pursue stable housing again?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't understand. It'd be like, wow, you could actually have, you know, you could sleep and feel better and, you know, have some stability. And I don't know why I just don't take those steps.
Go ahead, Becky.
I'm just wondering, Patrick, what have you done to address this over the years?
Seen a counselor? I have been in counseling.
Okay.
Yeah. I have been had therapy, but I've just never seemed to. I don't know. I feel maybe there's some more trauma underneath the surface that I haven't addressed. I'm not really sure, honestly. That's why I called you guys.
Yeah.
Patrick, does substance use get in the way for you?
No substance abuse, but porn.
Mm-hmm. And as you've had counseling in the past, what's your support community like today? Who are you in regular contact with?
Yeah, I'm in a regular men's group that meets once a week. We stay in contact through, you know, a group text or phone calls, that sort of thing. So that's pretty much, I don't have any family, so that's I was kind of like a home alone kid, you know, so I didn't really have much love and support and nurturing, so I kind of do things on my own.
Do your group members know that you don't have a place to live?
Yeah, they do know. Fortunately, no one's in a position where they could, you know, offer assistance. Maybe occasionally, if I need a little extra help with finances, they could help me in that way. But
I think, Patrick, what's happening is your anxiety as a result of the trauma has gotten you into this kind of cycle. Like you said, you're stuck. And the way out will be to have someone who comes alongside you and helps you with each step of the way. You know, you've got some insight, but there is a big wall of anxiety that you run up against when it comes to getting settled. And that's the place that you have to work through. You know, in order to get well, you're going to, and what I mean by well is unstuck and feel more peace, you're going to have a place where you consistently call home. And whether that's, you know, we're going to pick a hotel and this is where we're going to hang out for the next 90 days, or, you know, if it's somebody's basement that you can rent space, whatever the thing may be. Maybe it's a room that you rent from a boarding house. You need that consistency so that you can settle long enough to really kind of look at where this trauma has affected you and how it is keeping you stuck. Maybe Alice has a different view, but I think that this is where you've got to start, and you're going to have help. So it may be one of the group members. It may be a counselor that helps you with that, but that's going to be step one.
Yeah.
Patrick, your situation is awfully unique. And I'll be honest, it has me scratching my head, as it probably does you too, because you have some of these things in place that a lot of people who struggle with homelessness don't. So there is a big question mark about what does keep you stuck. And Becky may very well be right that it is some underlying anxiety that you have yet to identify and name. And so I want to recommend a four-pronged approach to this. Perhaps you need help with the logistics of making those calls, finding rental places, taking those little steps forward. And United Way comes to mind to me. It's a national organization. You reach it by calling 211 or you look it up, and they can help get you in touch with housing resources. You might also need a coach, and New Life is just opening up our coaching network. And they also help break down insurmountable goals into smaller, applicable, doable steps to follow on a daily basis. A therapist, getting back into counseling again, would help you dig into that deeper level of anxiety that may be paralyzing you. Lastly, I want you to consider and try to identify what might be the secondary gain for you. As unpleasant and uncomfortable as it must be to be living in your car, there's something else about it that might feel protective, that maybe it feels like it's safeguarding you from the risks of stable housing or having to be responsible for rent, even though you're maintaining responsibility in your business and in other areas. So I would dig into those four different ways of getting assistance for what you're going through.
Yeah, and I would just simply wrap up with this. You know, I think, Patrick, it's thank you for calling and just being as open as you were. I know it's not easy to get on the line and talk to us and kind of open up about things that are hard for you and maybe even a bit vulnerable or embarrassing for you. And so I want to encourage you that I appreciate you opening up about that. I would say maybe just trying to be mindful of, are there any common themes or threads that run through the resistance or the lack of urgency or just the feeling of inability to take action on some of these steps. I find that an acronym that helps me is the word HALTS, H-A-L-T-S. You know, when I'm hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or stressed, sometimes that can trigger certain things. So for you, you've mentioned trauma in your life, and some of that is known. Some of that may be unknown or unpacked yet. You've also mentioned some issues with pornography in the past, and I would start to think to myself, which one of those or something else is that leading me to? Is there a theme that runs through all of that? And you may find some commonality, because I find that life doesn't happen in a vacuum. There is some shared experience there that may be contributing to that. And if there is trauma, it can freeze us. It can cause us to feel like I'm too scared of being stretched, even though I know it's the right thing to do, because that the unknown is so gripping that we can't normally get the healing that we need. And ladies, I wanted to throw out a resource. I thought about Take Your Life Back as a resource
we can send. That was the one I was thinking of.
Okay, good. As a resource we can send to you, Patrick. And I just, again, I think that through some small steps, and I think both of these ladies mentioned just the, what are the action steps that you can take from this and to start small, get other people involved, as Alice said. Don't bear the burden of having, I got to figure this out on my own. Do it in community. Help get your men's group to at least support you and stand with you as you make some of these decisions. And so we hope that that is helpful for you. Alice, I'll give you the kind of the final word here. Just this idea of how do we get unstuck? I mean, I thought that was a common, just generically, like people may feel stuck in their pain and they can't get out of it. So in general, like, what can somebody do to overcome that feeling of being, you know, stuck?
It really is the confession that Patrick is engaging in, admitting I'm stuck, and a part of me doesn't even want to get unstuck. But inviting God and other people into that place, that through the admission to safe people around us, there's usually an inflow of grace that at least creates some more understanding and hopefully momentum. So, Patrick, I don't want you to wait past today to take a move on one of these things that we're suggesting, because you've received a little bit of grace from it. Now act on it. Call United Way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, ladies. Let's go to Joan now. Joan's listening to us on the New Life app, and she is calling in today from Georgia. Hi, Joan. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hi. Well, I've been struggling for many years with alcohol and on and off, you know, through my whole life. I'm going to be, I'm in my late 60s, and I really want to be done with it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I remember hearing Steve years ago say that he's had more than his fair share of alcohol in his life, and he was done with it. And that's where I am today. And I was wondering about naltrexone and then doing that along with Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your specific question? Just to overcome the alcohol abuse, Joan?
No, yeah, well, using naltrexone, and then, yeah, going to Celebrate Recovery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
I wanted to know what you thought about naltrexone.
Yeah, ladies, that's, you know, again, we have things like that out there to kind of help curb addictions of some kind. What would your advice be? Becky, you can jump in here maybe and to get us started.
I'm kind of curious, Joan, what hasn't worked?
Yeah.
I'd like to start with that.
Well, just, you know, leaning on the Lord. I've been a Christian for 30 years and, you know, very devout, taught Bible studies, gone to many Bible studies. I mean, just honestly, just not really saying that I'm totally surrendered and this is it. And I kept playing with it, thinking, well, I could go back and I could just have one or two. And then I listened to Claudia Christian's, I don't know if you're familiar with her, and she said how she overcame it. And when I listened to her story, it was like mine to the T. You know, she just, you know, she has a good life, a good family, this, that, but not in my prior past. You know, we all have wounds and hurts, and I understand that. And, like, you know, everybody has their issues in life. But now I want to be done with it, but I've been playing with it too long and saying, well, yeah, I can have one, or I'll have it on the weekend. But
Joan, what I'm asking specifically, though, you have not done, whether it's been a 12-step group or counseling or anything else besides just wanting to be done with it.
No, throughout my life, I have gone to counseling several times, a couple of different times, and they told me to go to Celebrate Recovery, and I didn't, probably more out of pride than anything else, and shame and all that.
So, but see, that's where we'll start, right? Because we really do want the easy or the quick, not that anything is easy or quick when we're trying to really rearrange our life, but I think even if you take the medication, and Alice may have more information about that, but I think you're going to have a process in place, because there's a reason why you're using alcohol in the way that you are. And to understand that will give you the true freedom. You'll understand why you're using that as opposed to another way to cope with the challenges. But Alice, what have you discovered about naltrexone?
Well, I have seen it assist people in gaining and maintaining their sobriety. But I appreciate, Joan, that you're not looking at it as the entire solution, that you know it takes more than just the assistance of medication. And when we have a problem that we can't break through, we usually need the trifecta of both, yes, medication, because it really can help us, individual counseling, and then group support. And so pushing yourself past that pride and shame to know that when you get to celebrate recovery, you're going to find a bunch of broken sinners like me and you, Joan, who can say, yeah, me too, I'm struggling with this particular sin or behavior. And that reduces the pride and shame and helps us get the effective solution to our problem.
Absolutely. And on the far side of confession, Joan, and opening up, is more grace. The grace will go even deeper, and that shame will become less and less as you open up about it. Stay on the line, Joan, because we'd love to get you a resource and send that to you. Again, we're taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to remind you that taking care of your mental health is as important as eating healthy, exercising, or even saving for the future. To help you manage your mental health and to better understand those with struggles, we're featuring a sale on a variety of books, CDs, and devotions all month long. Visit our online store at newlife.com to shop the sale.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah, again, I wanted to mention, too, that if you give during the month of May, we are going to send you our brand new devotional, 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. You know, this devotion helps you explore what's the source of your anger, surrender those attitudes, the temper, the emotions to God, and to begin experience living life in the character of God where peace can rule your life. And we have Joan on the line, and I was going to just briefly mention, and Joan, we love to send you the book Healing is a Choice. I just think that would be a great resource for you. But I was going to mention that, you know, anytime we run to a substance or run to something that we feel like is, the Bible uses the word idol, you know, anything that you turn to in your greatest moment of need and say, save me. And certainly alcohol, among many things, could be that. But I find that there's a thing beneath the thing. And so trying to figure out what is it exactly that is driving you to that substance. What is it? Is there pain involved? Is there a memory or an event or a pattern of things that happen to just like when this happens or I get to this headspace, I immediately want to kind of default and medicate that pain or whatever the case may be with alcohol abuse. And what that reveals is that it's not just merely a substance problem. It's an issue of something of greater depths. And so, ladies, I don't know if either of you want to speak to that, but I just think that this idea that there's kind of the analogy of like there's a small pothole, but underneath that is actually a much larger pothole that maybe we don't really see on the surface.
I would like to remind Joan about, and I would love to send her a Life Recovery Bible. Because of what you're talking about,
yeah.
In the process of recovery, we can get underneath that thing that you're talking about, Zach. And Joan, I want to encourage you to stay on the line. We'll get you connected with a life recovery group in your area because, you know, really exploring how this has affected your life and how it is taking hold. And, you know, you're saying, I want to be done with this. And I want you to be done with this just so that you can have that experience of freedom. And it is a multi-level approach, but I think life recovery will get you on your way there.
Yeah, Alice. Anything?
Zach, I'm glad you bring up that addictive behavior is almost always covering a discomfort. It's a way to distract and to soothe. And if we stop the alcohol use or whatever the behavior is without addressing the underlying discomfort, we're going to either go back to, we're going to relapse, or we'll go to some other compulsive or addictive.
But
yes, exactly. And it's shockingly liberating to admit to ourselves and to others that we're a mess. And we all are. And when we can do that and let our guard down, we find out everybody else is too. But there are ways out of the mess, and admitting it is that first step.
Absolutely. What's that old saying that when you follow God, it's just one beggar telling another where to find bread?
Yes.
You know, it's just a level playing field. And I think that's humbling. And again, thank you, Joan, for even reaching out and just kind of opening up to us online today. We really appreciate that. We're going to go to Olivia now. She is watching us on YouTube. Shout out to those that are watching on YouTube today. But Olivia, thanks so much for joining us on New Life Live. How can we help?
Oh, hello. It's so nice to talk to you guys. I've been listening to you for a lot the last few years. But
it's great to talk to you as well. Glad you're here.
Thank you. I am feeling very hopeless today, and that is because I've been dealing with the consequences of a neck injury that I had about 3 years ago. And it has left me very light sensitive, and so I have had to stop working, and I actually can't really look at my phone. I can't be on the computer, and I can't read either. And we've looked at a lot of had a lot of different medical treatments, and this past year I did improve a lot, and I actually was able to start doing seminary online, and it was so hopeful.
Good for you.
Because I wanted to I want to teach, but about a month ago I received like a blow to my head that jostled the structure. Recently found. We just recently found there's movement in three places in my neck, in my vertebrae, and that is like the cause of my issues. And to have it like jostled is not good. And so, I'm only 24, and I just want to be able to live my life and have hope for a life. And I just had a lot of trouble trusting that God is going to help me get through, and I feel like I know what you guys are going to tell me. I've been listening for so long, and I do have a Bible study on Tuesday nights with some wonderful girls, and Thursday nights a wonderful group is kind of like supporting and growth in the Lord. And I did just deflect the team, I think, for anxiety and depression.
Well, Olivia, thank you. Sorry to cut you off. We're going to go to a break here in just a second. Thank you so much for calling. We are so sorry that's happened to you, but stay on the line. We'd love to chat with you and get you some help, okay?
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here filling in for Steve Arterburn. We have Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown with us today. We have Olivia on the line. Olivia, thank you again for just being so vulnerable and opening up and sharing about just these really, just difficult circumstances that have happened to you. It probably at times feels like senselessly and out of nowhere, and we're so, so sorry that that has happened. Becky, I want to throw it to you to maybe how we can get Olivia not just some help, but even just to give her some hope, because when we're gripped by that bleakness of going forward and we take a few steps back, it could be really demoralizing.
Oh, Olivia, I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. And I know that it feels like everything is just grinding to a halt just when you were making some progress. And I'm sure that you know what we're going to say is you're going to need support and you're going to need to do all those things. But the first thing I think that may be helpful is to be able to grieve the loss of what you're experiencing right now. Physical pain affects us in multiple ways. It's not just the actual physical injury or, you know, disability even at this point, you know, because you've lost your job and all of that. But literally, it affects the way that we think. It is, especially when it's a constant problem, like, you know, you can't look at things that you normally would look at. It has affected every part of your day. And so I think the support piece is going to be very important. And I'm just wondering, are you single? Are you married? You know, what kind of support do you have around you? And as you have sought counseling or support for this, what have you learned already, Olivia?
Yeah, so I'm living at home with my parents, which I'm really thankful for, and they've been able to pay for all these doctor's appointments.
Wow.
And I got a New Life counselor probably a year ago, and she's wonderful. Her name is Michelle.
Great.
So I haven't spoken to her recently, but it can be a little difficult because it feels like the most hopeful thing is to hear about what next medical step to take. So sometimes it doesn't feel super helpful in the different counseling appointments, but I've also worked with an EMDR counselor and done some sessions.
Olivia, are you continuing your seminary, or has that been put on hold because of this recent incident?
Yeah, I had to put that on hold, and I think because this journey has really been 3 years of up and down, and I think like I have been able to persevere in hope this whole time for the most part, but I think this most recent time just feels so devastating. And I think what is also overwhelming is we got advice from two different doctors about what procedure to do next, and they're disagreeing. And that also feels very, like, I feel like, what do we do?
And you know, Olivia, what I'm thinking is that if you can get support that's not connected to whatever the next thing is, you know, to have somebody be able to just hear where you are so that as you continue to do whatever medical interventions that you have to do, that you feel supported. Because there's going to be some days that just, you flat out feel terrible. And I wish I could say, you know, you're going to feel better after talking to somebody, but I think it's so helpful to have somebody just, you know, be right alongside of you at the same time that others are trying to, you know, enlist medical help.
Yeah, Alice, how would you, what would be kind of your direction for next steps for Olivia today?
Olivia, I want to give you two things that might seem contradictory to hope. And one is to give you some imagery, because I want to march in front of the heavenly throne, and I want to wag my finger at God to say, what are you thinking? What are you doing to Olivia? Here you have a faithful servant who's pursuing seminary, and she gets hit like this twice, and she's losing her vision? I want to get angry at what is happening to you. I actually feel it bubbling up in me right now. I'm so upset that this is taking place. And as you are a soft-spoken person, I think you are a gentle soul, it might be difficult to access the legitimate anger that life and the enemy and this broken world is throwing this at you. And I want to know how you feel hearing me get angry on your behalf. It hits something, doesn't it?
I want to, and I have at different times, but it feels like to get so angry at God, and I want to get to a place where I trust Him, and I know that He's the only one who knows that can help me. So, I don't know, I've had, like, different ups and downs at times of being really angry at Him and with the different...
And, Olivia, do you try to push that anger down and get past it quickly?
sometimes I feel like, yeah, I don't want to say it, and then it kind of pushes me away from God because I'm so angry at him.
Olivia, sometimes I set angry appointments with my clients. And even if they're not feeling it, they can't access it there in the moment. Sometimes I'll role play on their behalf, as I was just doing with you, where I'll speak out the anger that I assume is down there somewhere. And when you can hear someone else do it for you, something kind of unlocked within you. I think that's why there was that flood of tears as you heard me get angry. I think you probably need to spend a little more time in anger at God, which can feel so unsettling to do. But in the long run, it both helps resolve some of that resentment and bitterness that's swirling in us, and it can break down a barrier that's standing between us and hope and between us and trusting God, because in the experience of the anger, we are reminded that he can handle our anger. He, like you said, he can understand it better than anyone. He can hear it, and he will still love us through it. The other piece of advice that may seem contradictory, Olivia, is although you still have your vision, and of course you have hope that your vision will be resolved again, you'll have it fully. When I've had clients who are slowly losing their vision for different reasons, sometimes I have them get in contact with something like the Institute for the Blind, where although they're not there, they can get some of the audio resources, they can get some of the skills in place, and it helps bolster their strength and courage to do so.
Yeah, that's great. Alice or Becky, one of the two, is there a resource that we can send to Olivia that would be helpful for her?
I think the challenge, though, is because of the reading impairment. So, you know, that would be one thing. Maybe if we can send an audio recording of not losing hope. But here's what I want to say to you, Olivia. Here's the thing that we talk about in recovery all the time. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And acceptance doesn't mean agreement or that we like it or that it's all good or anything like that. But it's like, all right, this is where I am. What do I need to do? Who do I need to help? Or who do I need to ask for help? And how do I move forward? And I think that that's why it's so important for you to have that support. And if you can just continue on with that counseling until you get some more answers, I think that's going to help you do what Alice is saying. And I just don't want you to be alone in this.
Absolutely. And just know that the Bible is full of raw and honest prayers. I mean, the Psalms, Derek Kidner, an Old Testament scholar, used to say the presence of these desperate prayers, you know, God, where are you? How long are you? Must I wait for healing and those types of things? And he would say that those prayers are included because God knows how people pray when they're desperate. And it's just such a beautiful display of empathy from our Creator to allow those things to be in the Bible. And so I would just spend some time in the Psalms. That's probably a non-therapeutic thing, but I think in the long run it would be quite therapeutic for you to kind of get in touch with those emotions. Larry Sonnenberg is joining us today. Larry, I'd love to throw it to you here quickly to see what you want to have to share with us today.
Okay, well, a couple things. One is we still have this matching challenge. It started at $706,000. Yesterday morning we were down to about $624,000. With what you've given yesterday and today, I'm optimistic we'll be close to 600,000. You know, I have been asked a couple times by staff people, what's plan B when we don't make it on the 31st? And I don't want to go there. and it's a struggle because I want to be wise, you know, if that were to happen, but I want to be a man of faith. And my faith in God is a faith in you folks who would step forward and make gifts. Mm-hmm. Some will be $5 and $10. Some might be $5 and $10, $20,000 or more. It's whatever God leads you to do. But I'm praying you're gonna selfishly that you won't make me face that situation where I'm gonna have to plan for the next thing if that were to happen. Because I this is gonna glorify God. That $706,000 was an incredible gift that came from all these donors. And to God be the honor and glory for that. So after the break, I want to read a testimony.
Awesome. We're taking your calls today, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Alice Benton, Becky Brown, and I'm Zach Matchett here hanging out with you today. We have Larry Sonnenberg with us. Larry was sharing about the matching gift challenge that he talked about earlier, but he's also got a testimony he'd love to read. So, yeah. Larry, I'll throw it to you.
Thanks. The testimony is about every man's battle because we're going to be doing that this weekend right here in Orange County, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hmm. And I just want to read what this gentleman wrote after having attended one a long time ago. And I like this because it means it took effect and he did the work, and it was powerful. He says, "New Life has changed my life. I was your typical Christian man who struggled with porn from childhood, never thinking I had an addiction. I was able to keep the secret from my wife several years. After discovering me the second time, I did the typical thing and said I had prayed and I had it under control. Well, we all know how that works. In 2012, she started listening to New Life on XM. And in May of 13, caught me again. This time she was better able to confront me and realized I was out of control. She said to look into New Life and the workshop if I really wanted help. June 28th, I flew to Denver to attend Every Man's Battle. That workshop was the beginning of my recovery. My wife and I now come alongside men and women that are struggling as a result of porn. She's attended Restore, and I've gotten 5 of the men I work with to go to Every Man's Battle. We've taken what God has done for us through New Life and used it to minister to others. We just celebrated 47 years of marriage.
Wow.
It could have ended years ago if not for what you do in your ministry. So, guys, I know there's guys out there that are just like him that know they need it, think they just need to pray and read the Bible for a month or two and it'll go away, and it doesn't. So consider coming to this workshop. It's just this weekend. It's not too late, and it's a great place to be. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that life-changing story. And just know that when you give to New Life, those are the types of stories that you play a part in helping people find that recovery and that healing that they need, whether it's, you know, been a long journey already or that's the first step that they take. And so, again, thanks so much for your generosity as you give to this ministry. I'm going to go to one more call here. We have Mike on the line, and Mike is listening to us from Boston, Massachusetts. Mike, thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. How can we help?
Can you hear me?
I can. What's
hey,
up?
Guys. Okay, great. I just want to say thank you, guys. I've been around the Life Recovery Bible for, I don't know how long it's been out, but 15 to 20 years anyway. And I need your help. I'm trying to encapsulate. I have so much to say. I was a ministry leader once in a small assembly of God church for Celebrate Recovery. And I thought it was really going to take off, and it didn't. And now I live in Rhode Island, and I'm trying to introduce, not Celebrate Recovery to start, but a men's step meeting. And what I find in the church, there's so much resistance to the word recovery, to the need for recovery. And the way I see it is the 12 steps of recovery. I'm a product of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came to Christ through Alcoholics Anonymous.
Wow.
So I see it as a mission field, a huge mission, untapped mission field, a harvest, a tremendous harvest. And then I see the church community the church I attend to, in so much pain, so many men and people in so much pain, because, forgive me for saying it, but it's almost like they look at Jesus as a fix, you know, that they don't need to do this work. You know, the Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 12. He talks about his thorn in the flesh. I love it. And he talks about how I will boast about my weaknesses.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I see recovery. We're boasting about our weaknesses, and but as a result, we're made strong. And
So what's the primary resistance? Sorry to cut you off, Mike. What's the primary? We talked about this at the beginning of the show about this kind of lingering stigma with mental health and even recovery that you just mentioned. But what has been the, just in a few sentences, what's been the primary pushback from this church and you starting something like this?
Well, it seems like this. I've been at this church like 2 or 3 years, and I was a member of a small group, and so that ended. So my question was, well, what do we do now? Because recovery doesn't end. We don't take a vacation from it. So it's not really pushback. It's kind of like a dragging of the feet. Let's pray about it. Let's see where God leads us. So I come up with this idea, and I want to see what you guys think. Because oftentimes I've had to start a meeting outside of the church because of this resistance. And I want to introduce it at my church. So I'll ask them if they'll rent us space to start a meeting separate from the church and kind of introduce it that way.
Yeah, it's a great idea, Mike.
People can,
yeah, and you know,
me as a person.
The thing is, Mike, that, ahead, you know, sorry. You just have to start somewhere. And sometimes meetings do end, and then you just start again. And I applaud you for your earnestness and wanting people to get help, and you're right. It, you know, everybody needs recovery. We just went through this in our church a few years ago, the launching of a recovery program, and educating people on what that means. And then finding out, you know, with life recovery, it really does affect everybody's life. You know, we'll connect you with Terry Ward, who manages our life recovery groups, and she can help you get that set up. And go ahead.
I've spoken to her. I've been in contact. I'm in contact with her.
Great.
I had just one quick question. What is the difference between recovery and sanctification, other than you have to be a Christian to become sanctified? Say a Christian, I identify myself as a Christian in recovery. So is it just language, or is it?
Dr. Dave Stoop used to say that recovery is a sanctification process.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a I would say it's an expression of that sanctification. Yep.
Okay. I've been given this vision many, many years ago by the Lord. I'm a 64-year-old man, and you know, it hasn't died. It's getting intensified. And do you know anything about recovery churches?
Well, there's churches that have recovery ministries. I don't know if there's something more specific than that. The one thing that I will say is, and I, again, just being in church leadership, can sometimes be tricky. I don't know if this is the situation with you, with you, Mike, and your church, but oftentimes churches are presented with lots of great options, and they have to be selective of what they do and don't do and where they put their time. And so that's why Becky affirmed your idea of maybe starting something outside of, whether it's locationally or otherwise, to do that. But I think that the churches that offer recovery ministry are going to find that they're going to be able to provide a refuge for people that are really looking for great help, and that the church could be seen as a resource for that and a safe place to open up about that. Alice, I'd throw it to you here just as we kind of wrap up. Like, what have you seen effective from churches that have kind of merged the counseling, psychological, therapeutic with more of the spiritual side of things? What's been something that's worked that you've seen?
Well, Mike, I can identify with you because I've also had it on my heart and have made what seem like failed attempts. And sometimes God is just teaching us perseverance to not give up on the dream you have. You will find an outlet for it. And maybe it's starting another small group that studies one of our New Life books, like Healing is a Choice. Maybe it involves going to some of your pastors to ask about the attitude of the church and to ask if there is any way to start recovery-specific groups. And perhaps you do a group at another church, even though you continue to attend this church as your home base, if they're not willing. But keep persevering. You have a gift to give to the local community there, Mike.
Yeah, that's a great point, that we can use it, the Big C Church, as a resource, not just maybe one particular congregation. You know, there's a lot of things that were talked about today on the show that I feel like, if you're listening, that you know somebody that can relate to this, that maybe a similar situation, similar life experience. And so if you found this to be helpful, please share this episode. Give us a review on iTunes or just visit us at newlife.com. Thanks so much for joining
us.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.